Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And I cannot say this any, I'm just so pleased to have Tracy McBurney back with me. I hope we can do this every month because so many people will benefit from this, and so many people love your shows. So I am so excited to have you back, Tracy. Thank you for coming.
Oh my goodness. Wow, what a lovely opening. There's what I missed.
Yeah, but I just, anyway, so, well, we're in crazy times. We don't really want to talk about those, but I do definitely want to talk about kind of what's been going on in your world, because that's usually how we do our shows, and they're always so interesting and fascinating. And anyway, I'm just so excited that you're back. So, tell me, what's been happening in your world?
We haven't been together doing this for a long time.
Years now.
Yeah, I know, like 4 years or something.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I miss that time. I really do. I was very sad when all that CBS radio stuff left. Mm-hmm. Because I was actually really enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying the walking up the stairs, but I was enjoying us.
Yes.
So what's happening with me? So how do I see things now? Well, you know what? You've been going back and forward with me for a while, here and there for the last couple of years, reaching out to say, you know, you want to do a video thing, you want to, and it just hasn't worked out. And it just felt like I pulled a card the other day in an Oracle deck. When I pulled a card in the Colette Baron Reed Oracle card deck, and I love that deck. It's an older deck, and I absolutely adore it. And I pulled a card in that deck, and it was a card that I'd never seen before. And I could stretch. I don't think my earphones are going to stretch so that I could stretch without something getting harmed to grab the deck. That my office is a really small, crazy space. But basically what the card was saying and how it was guiding to say, take a risk. It's time to take a risk. And I have been really looking at my relationship with risk taking. Although I will give myself a little bit of a break in the sense that I think it's quite risk taking to step into the world of energy medicine, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's what the guidance was. It was take a risk. It's time to take a risk. And then it just felt really right to, I was talking to our mutual friend, Dave, and I was telling him about our meeting a couple of days ago and thinking that didn't happen by accident as we meet on the street. And we actually are kind of neighbors, but we don't cross each other so much. And he said, let's call her. Let's call her. I told him what I really thought the message needed to be, or what I said to him, this feels right. Like, this feels like a right message to send out to the world. Like, if I wasn't so afraid to just send this message out to the world, I'd just send it out to the world.
Right.
And he said, let's call her. I said, well, I was thinking about doing something a little smaller than that, really, as far as risk taking and just getting in touch with the energy medicine students that I had from the past and just sharing with them. But he said, well, let's do both. So then he said, let's just call her now. So we did. And here we are.
Here we are.
At which point, through a series of weird things, you'd sent me an email that I didn't get. And it was just, I could just think we're supposed to be here today. Mm-hmm. So what I was sharing with him, there's a couple of things that I guess I want to share with the world, so I'd like the world to know. I'm kind of all about keep it simple, smarty. I like simple things. I think I've said in past talks, I grew up with a brother who has kind of a genius IQ, and that was a little challenging sometimes to be in the shadow of that. And I'm not saying that I'm not smart in my own right, but I didn't have his level of smart. And so there was always this, when I stopped trying to want to prove myself to be so smart, I kind of just stepped into the keep it simple smarty. And I like that as a nutritionist, and I like that as an energy medicine practitioner. And so it's been very interesting to see the kinds of things that have been falling in.
I really like that you say keep it simple smarty, because you know that most people say keep it simple stupid.
No, keep it simple smarty, right?
Right.
Don't get so wrapped up in the complication of all the complications, right? Takes a lot of energy to keep all of those afloat.
Mm-hmm.
So here was the thing that I said to him, and when I watched the effect that it had on him, it just again said to me, I've got to say this out loud. If there could be more people that this would unwrap for unconsciously because they just heard it that day and it was the right day to hear it, and it would have the same effect that it's having on Dave right now, then that's a good thing. Then that's a really good thing, because he was hearing me, but his unconscious mind was making the decision to follow what it was that I was saying. And I just watched it. And I watched his physiology start to shift and change. I watched the energy patterns start to flow and move and unlock and unlock and unlock. And he said to me 5, 6, 10 minutes later, he said, "I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted." And I said, "Yeah, I know, because you're in the healing stream." And that's what the healing stream is. It's like that beautiful feeling of I'm letting go, I'm releasing, and I'm feeling just exhausted in the process of releasing. And I just watched it happen. And it was just so simple. I didn't have to unwrap certain things like I might have to do with another client. It just miraculously shifted.
Nice.
So what I said to him that day, and I got a vision of it a couple of weeks ago with a client, is I was describing to him this concept of free the love. Free the love. I was literally saying to him what happened in a session with a client, as I saw so clearly this element of love, this pure element of love right at the center of this ball, this molecular crazy ball of energy that this client was creating in the story that they were holding on to. So instead of that love, that pure, I'm going to call it element, like almost like love could belong on the elemental table with all the other elements in its pure state. And so its pure state was right there in the middle of all of this. But on the outside was the anger that she felt, mm-hmm. and the hurt that she felt, and the judgment that she had of him, whoever he was, and the judgment that she had of herself, and the idea of this, and the thought around this, and the regret ball of energy, all sitting there connected to this beautiful, pure element of love that was almost like suffocating in the molecular structure of energy that had been created that was being held by her. And I just said, that's what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing these balls of energy that are all stuck on this pure, beautiful love element. And I just looked at her and said, you need to free that. You need to free that. It's time to allow that to explode. Just to literally explode out all of these energetic particles of emotion and feeling and thought and story that are stuck on this pure love at the center that's just being suffocated by the holding onto all of this. It's time. It's time to let all of that stuff go that's stuck here. It's time to just explode it out. And she got it. Like, that's what, and it was that simple. It was like, it's time to free the love. Love is not free. Love is not free within you. And if you, speaking to that client, are love, at the very core, the element of love, if you are love, then you are not free. Because you're holding on to all of this, and all of this is stuck, making this giant molecular structure, when love, really, at its base, is to be free. And I also got that this didn't have anything to do with money. Like for a long time, that idea of here I am as a practitioner, I'm bringing love in because love is the thing that does the job. Like, love is that divine field that does the job. You're not doing anything to shift or heal anything with anyone if you're not bringing in that divine love through self. If I'm not bringing that into the room, it just isn't happening. Right. And so I'm just sitting there going, wow, you know, all of the times in my practice where I've said, wow, I'm doing this for a living. I'm bringing this love in. And I'm charging money for this. Like, how is this okay? You know, if love is free, how is this okay that I'm charging money for this? And I've been all wrapped up in that for so long. And on that day, I looked at her, saw all of this, and I could really see the difference between love, free the love, free the love, free the love so it doesn't exist anymore as some molecular structure of ugliness that nobody wants to be a part of. Who wants to be stuck there in that molecular structure of love that connects into anger and resentment and upset and abuse and terrified and horrors and belief systems that throw us under the bus? Who wants to love like that? Or be with love that looks like that? And how much are we clinging to that because we believe that's our love?
Right.
Like, that's our love. That's our version of love. And so I could totally see, oh, it's fine. It's fine for me to charge money.
Of course.
It's fine for me to charge money to do what I do. It's fine. Love, free the love. Free the love, desire for love to be free. That love to be free, that love within your love inside of you to be free of all of this monkey business, of all of the monkey business. Just desire for that, allow for that, and recognize that the versions of love that you or me have been connected into have been bastardized versions that have been created with pain. So that love is painful. So that love is painful, love is hurtful, love is all of these things, but love is definitely not free.
Yeah.
And I just sat with that, and he got it. He got it, and I could just see, I don't know what story, I have no idea what story he was just releasing or how many stories he was just releasing when I described that to him. I have no idea, but you just feel the energy moving. Like, just moving, like, just back to source, like, freeing the love so it can just flow in its original state without any of this energetic connected to it, and start to really recognize this free love is our love. It is our love, and it is the love that is at the base and the core of us. And to really start to get a sense of that. And a feeling inside of the body of that. And so I got really excited about it. I just went, free the love, free the love. Can we put that on a t-shirt? Do I sound like something from the 60s? Free the love, free the love. Let love be free, right? Free the love. But I get it. I get it. Let's blast off by choice the molecular structures. Love isn't a molecule. Love isn't supposed to exist like a molecule. It is its own base, pure, I'm going to call it element.
I usually say essence, but it's the same.
Essence. I love essence. Let's change it to essence. I love essence. Thanks. I love essence. I never, but you know, I liked element too, because I thought, wow, I could just see it like sitting on the elemental tables. Like,
yeah.
Just all of those things that I had a hard time memorizing in chemistry. But love, could love be there too as an element, as a base element that we can't live without, that we can't exist without?
That we
but
are.
Yeah, I like essence.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. That was one thing that I just said, you know, wouldn't, you know, what if that could just happen? What if that could just happen? What if all over the world people could get that message and make a choice, a conscious or an unconscious choice to go, yeah, you know what? That's what I want. You're right. If my love stories inside of me exist like some ugly kind of molecules that connect into abuse and hurt and pain, and I've been holding on to those, I want to free that love. I don't want to give away my love. I don't give away the possibility of love. I'm keeping that base essence of love. I'm just blasting off all the stuff that's connecting to it.
Right.
Like, how cool is that?
Powerful.
It is. And it's not threatening, because it's not costing you love. Mm. And it was very interesting in a meditation years ago, where I was really in a quandary. You know, I was making these changes. I dropped into nutrition. I was starting to experience one of the myths of Carolyn Miss when she talks about, she had her five myths, and one of them she talks about, you know, in your process of healing, to heal is to be alone, one of the myths, to be alone.
Right.
And I was kind of experiencing that. I was experiencing that in the sense that I was becoming much more picky in the things that I was eating, and I didn't want to go over for Sunday dinner and have pork, and I didn't want to go over for Sunday dinner and have too much meat. And so I was really putting a nice big wish list on my mother at some big point, you know, I'm going to come over, but can you make these things, because this is the way I'm eating now. And I recognized that that was having an effect, and not a positive effect, on my mother and father's desire to basically have me for dinner, because I'm just asking a lot and they're getting a little older. And I'm in meditation and I'm just sitting with that one day. And the message that came through that day was, Tracy, you don't have to give up love to know love.
Mm.
And now this comes years before I get this vision of the molecular structure of the globby ugliness of the love story, and now I'm going to blast it all but keep the love. I'm going to keep the love and blast everything else away. You know, that's my new one this year. But this was years ago. You don't have to give up love to know love. And it stayed with me after that meditation. I went, thank you, thank you. Thank you for telling me that truth. It just went right in as truth. I don't have to give up love. I don't have to give up the love that I already know and that I already have to know love, to know love of myself. I got a real strong sense of that. So I literally put my hands, and I did, I put my physical hands up to the sky and I said, okay, show me how to do that, because I don't know how to do that. Clearly, I don't know how to do this. I've been giving up love to know love, pissing off my parents, like, show me how. And I started to get insights about it. I started to see how my behavior had been playing out in that story of being alone, healing myself and being alone. I started to see it at the dinner table on Sunday nights with my parents.
Nice.
I started to see what I was doing. And I started to recognize, yes, I've moved into a place where I gravitate to prayer and where I gravitate to grace and where I gravitate to saying grace, but that's not where my parents are in time and space. That's not where my family is as far as any kind of tradition. So I wasn't being me necessarily at that table, the me that would say that prayer or do that little piece of grace. I wasn't doing any of those things at that Sunday dinner table. And then I thought about it and I thought, wait a minute, that's what started to come in. Tracy, you don't have to give up love of self. You don't have to give up the things that you love now, the things that are part of your world. You don't have to give up love to know love. And then I sat there and went, and then it just came to me. It was just, oh, I don't have to put my mother through any of this monkey business. I could just receive whatever it is that she's given me on this plate, and I can do a prayer. I can do a prayer in my head. I can do a prayer from my mind. I don't need to share that prayer with anybody at this table. I don't need to ruffle their feathers. I don't need to poke them. I don't need to try to wake them up. I don't need to try to get them to see something my way. I can say grace inside of myself. It can be a beautiful grace inside of myself. I don't have to share it with anybody at that table that might be uncomfortable with what it is that I'm doing. And I can change everything that's going on that plate. I can fill that plate with so much joy and so much love that it's going to be so digestible. It doesn't matter what's on it. Hmm. I don't need to ask anything of my mother, and I can do that for the entire table. So I did a test first to make sure that was nobody at the table that had any allergy or intolerance to joy, to love, to happiness. Because I wouldn't want to make their meal more undigestible because I was putting those frequencies in their food.
Right.
What a weird thing to think, eh? But I have met people that do have allergies and intolerances to joy, which is one of the reasons why they're miserable. They have nowhere else to land other than misery, or it doesn't feel good. Joy doesn't feel good to them.
Right.
And so I wanted to make sure that I was not doing harm at all by wanting to do that prayer for the whole table, the prayer that was going to put a whole bunch of joy and a whole bunch of love and a whole bunch of happiness and a whole bunch of those frequencies into our food.
Do you remember the prayer? Can you say it? Because I bet a lot of people would benefit.
You know, darn it. My prayers, a lot of the time my prayers, if I really want to get to this place of just, you know, kind of a groundedness, my prayers will always start now the way that my first mentor actually did when she was my naturopath and my mentor when I was first with her. And she would start her prayers from the spark of pure love and light that resides within me. I connect to source. I give thanks. And from this place of oneness, connection, purity of heart, pure love, pure light. And then whatever is being asked after that. But if you're a feeling person, you feel what's going on in your body with those words.
Yeah.
You know, you just feel things kind of coming in, flowing, connecting. I mean, if you're already uber connected, then you don't, because you're already there. But if you're not, those words can actually be really beautifully grounding to kind of get your spine kind of straightening and but loosening. Does that make a little sense?
Yep.
And then I'll start to kind of make it up. Then I'll start to make it up. Well, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want for this food? I like this food. Sometimes the prayer is wanting this food to infusing this food with frequencies. So I want to infuse this food with frequencies of joy and love and happiness. So bring into this food those beautiful frequencies of joy and love and happiness, and maybe frequencies of pure peace. And maybe other times I'm doing a prayer where I'm asking that this food, this drink, whatever that is that I'm doing that prayer, that internal prayer, I'd want the frequencies, the immune, it's a very popular one, and it was way popular before this COVID, immune boosting frequencies into that food, immune boosting frequencies into that drink that I'm drinking. I don't care what it is. I thank you for bringing all the nutrient frequencies that are deficiencies for each person at that table. That's a very popular one on the Sunday dinner. You're bringing into that food and into anything that we're drinking, you know, not just immune boosting frequencies, but frequencies for all of the nutrients and nutrition that are deficient for each individual person at that table. So one person might be deficient in B12 and B1 frequencies and a little vitamin D and a little vitamin E. And it's like, bring those in from the universe as frequencies right into that food.
Nice.
And then whatever, make it up. What else do I want? There were times that I would go to school and I was teaching a new class and I'd be a little anxious and I'd be bringing frequencies in that were hormonally balancing frequencies, because emotion is always connected to hormones. So hormonally balancing frequencies and bringing in frequencies that will reduce anxiety and bring up feelings of security and confidence. And so notice I'm just kind of making it up.
Yeah.
You know, what do I need? You know, and then as I'm thinking this is what I need, I'm bringing in the frequencies from the universe that are going to deliver that to me, and I'm delivering them into the food or the drink.
And do you ever say what you don't want? Like, please, you know, don't put any extra hormones or like, do you?
I will ask that things, it's an interesting question. I will ask that things be neutralized.
Interesting.
So I will connect into my own divine. So I'm connecting into my own divine power of love and light with the intention that from that place of power, I am in connection to source. So that place within me and its connection to that light source working together as one, that I'm, my intention now, as is safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of the all. So that's, I think I've said that before in talks. That's my cover my ass affirmation. Safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest for the all, including myself in that all. Because there was a period of time, you know, 10 years ago or something, where I wasn't including myself in the all. Mm. I was over here and the all was over here. Mm. So safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest for the all, I am now asking that in this milkshake, in this drink, in this Coke, in this steak, you know, in the neutralizing, or dissolving, transmuting of all harmful, non-beneficial to myself, non-beneficial to myself. In other words, have no benefit to me whatsoever, have no benefit to anybody that's sitting at that table, frequencies. So they'd be chemical frequencies, they'd be hormonal frequencies, you know, whatever that would be. And I would just ask that they be neutralized, dissolved, transmuted.
And do you think it's possible, without getting into too much of the details, but do you think it's possible to do that for the vaccine? Because there are going to be people that have to take it. Is it possible to transform it?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because the answer would be, I've already said that to some people. I've already said, you know, we are magical.
Right.
You know, we are magical, but there are lots of people that don't get that we're magical. And I'm not talking like magical sorcery, let's just put a curse hex spell on something. I'm just saying, you know, we have very powerful minds. And unfortunately, our minds do a lot of doubting and a lot of not trusting and a lot of, or sit in a lot of fear. But our minds, you know, are that divine mind within us. And, in, you know, we can do, you know, really quite incredible things.
Yeah.
You know, what Albert Einstein said long time ago, he was quite upset, I've been told, by at the school education system at that time, because he recognized that higher intelligence, that highest intelligence within us. And he also recognized the power of our imagination. And what he really wanted for children is he wanted children to know how to embrace both of these, how to know that both of these existed within self, and how to bring both of them together, because he saw that as the way to new innovation.
Nice.
To new innovation and new things coming here onto the planet. And that was the root for it. So the answer is, that's what I'm speaking about. It's like the answer is yes. And yeah, the answer is yes.
Good. And maybe if you could, I don't know, put something in writing, we could add it to the, just for people, because I know that there are going to be people that are going to, well, are being forced to take it versus, you know, I mean, not everybody, but there are going to be people that are going to be forced to take it, and they know that it's not good. And I don't know if you can do it for other people while they, I mean, I remember doing it for my mom when she got a flu shot, just because, you know, she was being kind of forced and because of her age and stuff. And I just remember, you know, putting out a prayer so that she would get what she needed, but not get what she didn't need.
Right. But what a beautiful prayer.
Right.
Right. What a beautiful prayer, because you're staying out of the way.
Right.
You're literally saying, I as Lori, don't really know what she may need and what she may not need. And I as Lori am not wishing to get in the way of something that might actually be beneficial, that's sitting in that needle or that's sitting, I am not wanting, even though I am magical and know that about myself, I'm not open to doing that, which is basically you really acknowledging that safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest.
Mm.
Right? I'm not sitting here trying to dominate over a process.
Right.
Right? And I am looking and seeing right now that the unfortunate thing that I'm seeing all over the place is what I consider to be humanity's tragic flaw. And it's just this desire to dominate. This desire to dominate over another. And in dominating over another, where there is domination over another, there is enslavement of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So just sit with that for a second.
Yeah, we're forcing them to be what we think they're supposed to be. So we're holding them in a pattern.
Yeah, and I am working, and it's hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I am working to not dominate over another, right? To not dominate over another when I'm in practice. And because that leaves another in a crazy place, it leaves them a bit enslaved. They are enslaved to me when they do not see themselves as being able to do what it is that I do.
Right.
And I wouldn't want that. I have no wish to enslave another, and I have no wish to dominate over another. And I can and have found myself to have some quite controlling tendencies in the past. And it's been very interesting to look at those things and look at the programs of those things and look at where they had originated from, and to recognize that that was the best that could be brought forward at that time.
Yeah.
And maybe there's more, and tomorrow maybe there's more. But I, you know, and as I shift these things for myself, I have a very strong belief and actually kind of a wisdom to the idea that as I shift something of this nature or of any nature, it shifts it in the all.
Right.
So I participate. If I don't like what I'm seeing out there, if I don't like the dominating over people or the enslavement of people, if I don't like that, and I'm not even picking out a skin color because I'm seeing it everywhere. Then what is that Gandhi said, you know, be the change. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Do your work, Tracy McBurney. Do your work. That's all you can really do is your work, and you can help another maybe to see something a little bit of a different way, but do your work.
Yeah.
Shift these things for yourself.
They're good words. They might scare a few people. I mean, it needs to be powerful words for people to understand what they're doing. Because we don't get it. Sometimes we just don't understand. We think, we believe, well, I mean, our ego wants us to be right. So we believe that what we're doing is right. And everybody can have that same philosophy. And everybody believes that what they're doing is right. What we don't see is that by our manipulation, you know, we are enslaving. We are dominating. I mean, that's powerful because people kind of don't get it. Sometimes we just don't see how much we are trying to fix or help or, you know, someone else, when really all we ever need to do is fix ourselves. But it's hard.
Yeah, and it's interesting that word fix.
Right?
Right? Well, here's the other thing that has been in the last couple of years, and I must have this love of chocolate chip cookies, because the way that I'm putting it out now, so you, Lori, are wholeness. Right now, you are wholeness. And I am wholeness. And so I like, so that people can get a vision of that, it's like I've churned wholeness, like the wholeness of me or the wholeness of you, into a giant chocolate chip cookie.
Love it. Okay.
Right. And within the wholeness of you, there are a few chocolate chips that are vibrating
lower
with a problem.
Yeah.
That's sitting in a timeline that goes back to 5 years old or 15 years old or 25 years old or last Tuesday. But that little chocolate chip is still in the wholeness of you. And it's sitting in its illusion of separation.
Right.
And it's having its own issues. And its issues, the chocolate chip's issues, are vibrating out into the wholeness, are affecting the wholeness of you, because it can't be any other way. But they began at a timeline, a very specific timeline, that gave rise to the chocolate chip that is in your wholeness. And so I don't want to necessarily look at the chocolate chip and say, you need fixing. I'm like, oh, you're a chocolate chip within the wholeness. And you've lost sight of what the wholeness outside of you, chocolate chip, knows. And you're emanating out your experience, your disturbed experience, out into the rest of the chocolate chip. And it is actually affecting the wholeness of the chocolate chip. It's actually troubling the wholeness of the chocolate chip. And if this continues for a long period of time, it's harder for the rest of the wholeness of the chocolate chip to know something different than where you're stuck, little chocolate chip, within the wholeness. So could I sit with you, little chocolate chip? I'd just like to sit with you, little chocolate chip. Do you care? Do you care about the effect that all of this disturbance, like all of this emotional and all of this feeling that's going on with you and how it's being held, do you care about the effect that it's having on the rest of the cookie? Or do you not? And to me, the root of the issue in the chocolate chip is a feeling. There's a feeling.
Right.
The way I see it, there's a feeling. There's a feeling. There's one feeling or two feelings or sometimes three feelings that have balled together like one big feeling. And that's been suppressed in the chocolate chip. That's being repressed in the chocolate chip. And there's now whole patterns of avoidance that are starting to be created so that the giant cookie can avoid the experience that was the experience of the chocolate chip. That delivered forth those core one or more little feelings that are big feelings. And sometimes that repression and that suppression has gotten so deep. But that little chocolate chip, it's almost like a little cancer, that little chocolate chip, which is presence with all that repression, is still so powerful in the avoidance programming that is happening for the whole cookie.
Yeah. So do you melt the chocolate chip?
Surrender.
Mm.
It's when it's time And when it's time and when it's the right time, it's about sitting next to the little chocolate chip with the concept of that it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. We're burying ourselves in avoidance. We're now so programmed with this avoidance that we're so far away from the fun. We're so far away from the carefree. Life has become so painful. We're so far distanced from that spirit within, and we know it. And so it almost drives the very moment where you just feel like you have to go back and sit with that chocolate chip. Yeah, and you have to sometimes do that with another person. Like, I can't do that on my own. I need somebody else sitting with that chocolate chip, you know, helping me with those feelings.
Yeah.
Because I've spent how many years trying to avoid those specific feelings and the pain of that specific day. And I've tried to control my whole life and dominate over my whole life, enslaving my spirit while I dominate over my whole life, trying to make sure I never have that chocolate chip experience again.
Now I feel sorry for the chocolate chip.
Yeah, compassion. Yeah. Compassion for the chocolate chip. Compassion for the experience that was my experience that was so painful and so problematic that it got created into a chocolate chip. Its own individual identity almost, its own chip in the wholeness of the cookie. And that pain is driving the experience for the whole cookie.
Yeah.
And I love that you said that, because that segues into the next thing that I just went, I want this world to know this. It's compassion.
Mm.
It's compassion. And the place that I want the whole world to know it from, the heart of this universe. The heart of this universe, that this universe has a heart. It has a heart. There's a heart technology in this universe. And in that heart technology is this beautiful thing called divine compassion and this beautiful thing called divine love. And it's there, and it's there non-denominationally for everyone, for anyone to say yes to. And that's all anybody has to do is, number one, get an inkling that it's there. And number two, in your head, say yes. Say yes to divine compassion descending on the me, descending on that chocolate chip within the wholeness of my cookie. I say yes. I say yes to divine compassion descending on the me of that timeline. The me that I'm remembering that was 5 or 4 or 8 or 12. Because I didn't have anything around me at that time that would be feeling that for me.
Hmm.
I was feeling very unsupported then, very insecure, very alone, very afraid, very traumatized. And there was nothing. I was just alone with me. And saying yes to divine compassion, you're saying yes to a technology. Divine compassion is a technology. And once you say yes to it, and once you give it a place, I mean, you give it a specific timeline, or you give it a place which is just descending on me, just the present time me, which is a timeline in itself. Divine compassion comes in. And if you are a feeling person, and I love to work with feeling people, because if you're a feeling person, you feel it. You literally feel the energy of this compassion technology just encircling. And there's like a warmth sometimes that people will describe. And it is a technology. And I do see it sometimes as just these perfect colors, like divine compassion in perfection colors. swirling and delivering its information to us, its divine understandings, pure truth that we're not involved with right now because we're stuck somewhere else. And it's delivering that pure truth into our essence and delivering us a different perspective. And it's clearing away old thinking, because old thinking is popping up like pimples as this beautiful energy is just swirling us and changing us, because it's delivering to us new information. And it will not stop. That technology will not stop until we have been returned in that timeline to a connection to love, divine love, and we've been returned to pure truth. So if it takes 10 minutes, 50 minutes, 3 days, doesn't matter. That divine compassion is going to be with you like just a profoundly amazing therapist, working with you, meeting you in your pain. As another portion of that pain comes up and rises up as a response to those colors and that energy, it's going to meet it. It's going to counsel it. It's going to deliver new wisdom to it. All of this stuff's going to happen unconsciously. There's no real conscious awareness of any of it, except your conscious mind may then, through feeling in the body, be able to sense, wow, there's a warmth there. Wow, there's flow here. Wow, there's things releasing here. And your conscious mind, that's enough for your conscious mind to kind of go, wow, something is happening here. Something is happening here, and something is lightening up here. And you can start 5 compassion counseling sessions in 10 minutes. You can literally be thinking about several problematic things in your world, and you can say yes to divine compassion coming in from the heart of that universe. And you can get it connected into that difficult moment of yesterday. You can get it connected into that difficult moment of 2 years ago. And you can allow for that energy to start to work with you. And so how you check up on that, because I always like validation. I always like proof for people. So then you go back. Like maybe if you're a feeling person, you feel like, you know, it feels like whatever that is has left now 2 hours later or 3 hours later. And so you go back. I challenge you to go back to that exact time that you were thinking, whether it was a time of yesterday or whether it was a time of 4 years ago or 10 years ago, and it will feel different. It will not feel the same. And it will feel different in a positive way. You won't be able to find the same anger elements that you could find, the same desire to rip somebody's head off. You won't be able to find those things. And in a good amount of instances, you will just feel this energy of okayness. Just a feeling of like an anchored, grounded, you know, I'm going to be okay. But if you go back the next day, or if you go back several hours later and you feel like that's kind of done, you go back and you're still feeling some sort of negativity, you can still feel that coming into your body, a kind of connection to something that's just still offside. Recognize that you didn't make that accessible to that divine compassion technology. Mm-hmm. You put a boundary around it. And so recognizing that, you can then again say yes to divine compassion descending on the me that clearly did not allow for all of this to be accessed, because I can still feel some of it. I can still connect to some of it. So take responsibility for that. Take responsibility for the fact that some part of you still felt the need to hold on to some part of that or resolve that in a different way. Don't judge, just say yes to divine compassion coming in again to help you with that.
Nice.
And then you can go back and check on it again and see where you are.
I like that.
And can that be helpful to the chocolate chip in the wholeness of your cookie? Yes, it can. does that somehow transmute the chocolate chip into something that's no longer a chocolate chip? Did it hold a space of a chocolate chip because it was holding that pain? And as soon as that pain is no longer there, then something miraculous happens and you look again and there's no chocolate chip there at all. It's just beautiful cookie. I don't know. I just know the way that I'm saying it now and expressing it now in a strange sort of way, but it seems to work for me anyway, is the chocolate chip. And it seems to work for other people in the sense that they can at least get a vision of what I'm speaking about when I'm talking about them already being whole. Like your wholeness that's having problems, but you are still wholeness.
Yeah.
With some parts of you within that wholeness really sitting there in such illusions of separation that you don't really know that you're connected to the whole, but that doesn't change the fact that you are still wholeness.
Right.
Delusional maybe, but you are still wholeness.
So does it transform the chocolate chip or?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I've ever looked. I'm not so sure it does because I still see the chocolate chips.
Yeah, I agree.
So maybe it's the chocolate chips can now just exist still as chocolate chips, but now they're just beautiful sweetnesses, right? Ah. Now there's just, you know, now there's nothing that, like, that's just brought to neutrality so you can taste the sweetness of life. And those chocolate chips are the sweetness of the, in the package of the wholeness.
Yeah, because it is part of you. So why? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and if we go back to the beginning of the talk, that whole thing that we're doing with divine compassion is freeing the love. It's just doing it a different way. We're not seeing love all constricted as an ugly kind of molecule that we're busting apart because we're deciding to do that and just save the love. You know, just keep the love. I'm not giving up love to no love. I'm going to keep that love in its original state. And the rest of this stuff that is so contaminated it, that can leave. That can leave because that's been the problem with me and love all along, is it didn't feel good. And I didn't experience things that felt really good. And so my problem with love was that it was never really free love. And it was contaminated love. And it was our versions of love and our bastardized versions of love that were carrying a lot of pain. A lot of pain, a lot of hardship, a lot of abuse.
Yeah. Powerful.
Well, I think it's, anyway, so those are some of the things that are happening in my office.
Nice.
Yeah. So there, you know, can I tell you this other little funny story that connects into divine compassion because it makes me smile every time I think about it?
Oh, please.
So there was this one problem child. It was like there was this one gentleman that came into my office about a year ago, and this was maybe about a year after I started to work with divine compassion. And he was an older gentleman, so he was maybe in his late 60s or 70s, and he was having a real problem with whatever, but I mean real, and he was very stuck in it, very angry. And I said to him, would you please say yes to divine compassion? Like, what if that existed? Like, what if that existed, the idea that there was a heart within this universe? Like, the scientists are hearing that regular beat in the universe. And what if there is actually a heart in the universe? And what if there actually is a compassion technology that could come from that? So if that were true, what if it were true, would you say yes to that? And he immediately said no.
Oh.
Immediately said no. So I'm trying to take him into the dream state of imagination. I'm trying to bring him into the right brain because he's a very logical left brain kind of engineer type. And I'm trying to bring him softly and gently into the right brain with a, well, what if that could be true? Just what if that were true? Would you say yes? Because the moment I can get a yes, the moment you get a yes, the technology comes into work. So it doesn't matter whether it comes in through the, let's just play in the imagination corridors, or let's just play over here in the logical brain. The moment you can get a yes from somebody, that's it, man. That technology's coming in.
Nice.
So I get this immediate no. Then the guides say to me, ask him again. And I was like, okay. So I said, all right, would you, you know, if it were true, just if it were true that there was this divine compassion coming from this universe and that it could come and directly help you with this issue or problem energetically, would you, with the you that just said no to divine compassion and made the choice to say no, would you now say yes? And he immediately said no. And they said, do it again.
Oh, dear.
And I said, okay. So would the you that has now said no twice to divine compassion coming in from this universe, would you now make a choice to say yes? Immediately he says no. We do it again. They say, do it again. I said, are you kidding me? Like, this guy's going to get out of my, I think he's going to run out of my office. They said, no, no, do it again. I said, all right. So would you, they're telling me to ask you again. Would you, the man who's sitting there four times now saying no to divine compassion coming in from the universe, would you now make another choice to say yes that has that resistance? No. We get, no joke, we get to seven times.
Seven?
And I literally say to him, would you, the man that has now resisted, who has now held the resistance to say no seven times to divine compassion coming into this universe, would you now finally say yes? And he looked at me with like almost like daggers. He said, okay, already, all right, already, yes. And the energy that came from the corridors of the heart of the universe of compassion for this man just came in, and he got this look on his face. Like, it was almost like the continuous saying no almost made the whole field of compassion larger and larger. So by the time he said yes, it was had been so built up waiting that it just went in.
Wow.
In a way that he could feel it, in a way that I could actually see him physiologically going, holy crap, what's going on?
Wow.
I never, ever heard that man's story. I asked him to give his pain a number. I asked him to be very specific about that pain, to give it a number out of 10. We did that seven time stuff. And landed divine compassion finally. And we had a conversation. They led me in several different directions to sort out several other things with him that day. And then we went back about 2 hours later to go look at that issue. And I asked him, what's the number now? Let's just check on it. Like, maybe it's just gone down one or two, or let's go check on it. And he was paying no attention to that issue because they got me distracting him into other places.
Right.
He went back into that issue and he looks at me and he's right there and he says, I can't find it.
Wow.
I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling any of the things that I felt before. Could that be possible? It's like, I still see it. Like, I still see that time in my history. I said, of course you're still going to see that time in your history. That's a photo album in your book. But what we're doing is we're working to bring return to love and gratitude, return to neutrality, all of the feelings and all of the meanings and all of the human monkey business that connected into that timeline, that very specific timeline. And so what you're telling me is that you can't find that anymore. But you and I didn't do any physical work on that, except to get you to finally say yes after seven times of saying no. And I thought it was very interesting that they very specifically then left that issue. They wanted me right away from that issue and they took me somewhere else, so that I would help him to work out something else, which was invariably distracting him from that issue, like distracting him from paying any attention to it as the technology was working itself out he in that timeline in compassion. Yeah, it was, wow. it was a really cool day to recognize and to see.
Wow.
So that's my thing, divine compassion and free the love.
I love it.
Yeah, so I don't know what that does. I think that, I don't know, puts me out of business at some point, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that, but yes.
But wouldn't that be kind of nice?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, like what would I do if I wasn't doing this? Like what would I do if all the love was free and compassion was everywhere and people had just found their way to a much more elevated place? And yeah, I don't know, but whatever it would be a whole lot of fun, and I'd be doing it with a whole lot of really conscious people that were having a lot of fun because they were in greater connection with their spirits and with their spirit, their divine spirit within.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm holding that place.
Good. Me too.
Yeah, I'm holding that place. That's what I want. That's what I want for humanity. That's what I want for all of us.
Beautiful.
A love that is free. A love that is free. Love within people that is free. People's love that is free. Yeah, we didn't even talk about we probably won't in this particular, I don't know what we're going to do, but I don't know what your timeline is. But there's a whole other interesting thing that went on in my office that I think probably all of this that we're talking about wouldn't have transpired if it hadn't. But connecting to the light grid of the earth and the changes that have happened there, which are signaling changes for all of us.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Hmm. Very interesting. So it is very possible, much more possible than it ever was before, for us to have this conversation of freeing the love and freeing the love that is us. And it is absolutely possible now because of what's gone on with the earth grid of light. We can succeed at that now in these physical bodies. We can succeed at that thing called ascension on this earth in these physical bodies, because the earth can hold us in our full light.
Wow. Sounds like a great conversation for our next show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, is there any last message you want to give?
I don't know. That was a lot.
It was.
Those were the things that my heart really wanted to give those out. I really wanted people to know. It's
good.
Yeah, it's not about believing. It's not about believing. It's not about believing whether there's a, and that's the other thing that's really cool. It's not about believing that there is a heart in this universe and a corridor of compassion and divine love. You don't have to believe it, but you do have to get to a place of saying, well, I'm going to be the fool then. I'm just going to say this inside of my head. I'm going to be foolish. I'm going to follow what that girl said on that call that I listened to. And I'm just going to be foolish today and see what happens. Because it really doesn't matter. Belief is not necessary. What is necessary is that you would have the intention to say yes to this universe and the gift from the heart of this universe of divine compassion or divine love. It's interesting that most people can't receive divine love, but they can say yes to divine compassion.
Right.
That you would just be saying yes to that divine compassion, if it existed. And you'd be saying yes to allowing any resistances, interferences, reversal states, any obstacles, you'd allow those to be dissolved and you'd allow those to be released and removed. I call them corruption in the government. You'd allow those to be released and removed and dissolved on your behalf as is safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of you and the all, which is the cover the ass affirmation, which ensures that you are never harmed in the process of what it is that you are asking for.
Nice.
So it's only, what, 30 seconds out of your life or 25 seconds out of your life? Like, what do you have to lose? And it's free. So it's free, where coming into my office or coming onto a Zoom call is not free. And it can be very helpful.
Very. All right. You have been listening.
We're bringing peace to some of the chocolate chips in the wholeness of your chocolate chip cookie.
I love it. All right. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with Tracy McBurney, and we've been doing it on Free the Love and Divine Compassion. Well, I truly hope that we will make this a monthly theme again, and we can get more of your knowledge and wisdom out to the world. Thank you, Tracy.
I love you, Lori. It was nice to connect again.
Definitely.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.